Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. After Jesus was baptized, he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Come, Holy Spirit, within us. Speak the words that we each need to hear this morning. Help us to learn, Lord Jesus Christ, from you this day, and see how what you would say to us applies to our lives. We ask it in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I wonder if perhaps you have heard anything about the coronavirus lately. The stock market dropped dramatically this past week. I understand that many stores are completely sold out of face masks and hand sanitizer, and our politicians have more than just a few things to say about it. I guess the better question might have been, have you heard anything other than the coronavirus lately? Our hope, of course, is that a vaccine will be developed. Some news broke this week that great progress is being made. You remember how a vaccine works, right? A person is injected with a weakened form of the virus. The body then produces white blood cells to resist the virus so that when the body is exposed to real, live version of the virus at full strength, it already has built up a resistance to the disease by being exposed to a lesser version of it. It works the same in the spiritual realm. There is certainly something analogous going on in today's familiar gospel reading. Jesus goes into the wilderness and is tempted by Satan. And the striking feature of this story that takes place at the beginning of Jesus' ministry is that he is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. While we might think of temptation as something to avoid, and there are temptations we should avoid because we know we will succumb to them, here Jesus is actually led to a place where he will be tempted. It's not God doing the tempting. Matthew makes clear who is doing the tempting here. God never wants anyone to fall into sin, but God, the Holy Spirit, does expressly lead Jesus into a situation in the wilderness in order that he experience temptation. Wikipedia defines temptation this way: the desire to perform an action that one may enjoy immediately or in the short term, but will probably later regret for a variety of reasons, including legal, social, psychological, including feeling guilt, health-related, economic, etc. Why would the Spirit of God lead Jesus into a situation where he would have the desire to do something he would later regret? Why does God allow us to be tempted? We're all tempted. You're tempted to do things you don't want to do, right? Why does God allow us to be tempted? Another English word that we could use to translate this word in the Greek is tested. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested. God, throughout the history of the Bible, tested various people. Abraham was tested to offer his only son Isaac as a sacrifice. Others were tested: Joseph, Moses, David, and Job, to name a few. It seems that while it's not good to give in to temptation and sin, it can be good to experience temptation when we overcome it. But what is the good in that? Why would God put someone in a situation where they might falter or fail? Why would anyone inject themselves with a virus? Perhaps the answers are similar. Just as with vaccines, perhaps the resistance that we can build up when undergoing temptation can teach us lessons and strengthen us to be more Christ-like in life. Just as our bodies learn to develop resistance to a weakened virus, our souls can learn to develop resistance to temptation in short-term or limited situations, and the result is a strengthening for the whole of our lives to live the way God is calling us. Temptation is actually a good thing when it builds up our resistance and strengthens our faith. This is partly what is happening when we fast. Have you given something up for Lent? Have you practiced fasting as a spiritual discipline? I find it very difficult to fast. I began fasting on Wednesday, and I've been hungry frequently since then. And I can assure you that when I am fasting, I am tempted to eat. When I'm going without food and I smell food or I see food, when I've given up something and I see that thing I've given up, there is an immediate temptation to eat it. So what's the value of putting myself in this situation of constant temptation? I can tell you it teaches me a lot about myself. I have learned and reminded, first of all this week, how much my stomach drives my actions and influences my emotions. I can get cranky, or as the expression goes, when you're hungry and angry, hangry. And every time I'm tempted to eat but deny myself, I'm reminded of the constant temptation before me in life to act impulsively to satisfy my selfish desires. And I'm reminded of my need of God, my need to change, to become more the person who focuses on loving God and loving others and not on myself. Fasting teaches me to love God first and foremost, and my neighbor as myself. Fasting teaches me to deny myself and take up my cross and follow Jesus. It's on a small scale, in a tiny way, but in a way that as I grow in resisting these self-centered urges when I fast, so I also grow in becoming the kind of person who learns to resist, to deny self, to be more selfless, and more the person God intends for me to be. As I've been fasting this week, also, fasting has been teaching me about how I quickly look for a loophole in life. Did I give up desserts? Well, donuts for breakfast isn't a dessert. Did I give up sweets? Then I could fill my face with potato chips. These are small temptations, yet in today's gospel, Jesus fasted for 40 days. That our Lord fasted is instructive to us. He is our example of how God intends for us to live. If Jesus fasted, we too should fast. There must be a blessing God intends for us in fasting. The temptation Jesus faces here is great. Jesus is tempted to use his spiritual power to fill his human desires. If we listen, we can hear Satan's ploy. You deserve it, Jesus. You've earned it. If you're God, this will confirm it. You're hungry. This fasting isn't good for you. You won't be at your best. So just turn these stones into bread and eat your fill. Use your power for yourself and feed your hunger. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, is building up resistance in his humanity to the temptations he will face throughout his ministry. He's training to not focus on himself and have religion be all about what he can get out of it. He's learning to live as he taught. It's more blessed to give than receive. There is this temptation constantly before us as well, isn't there? I don't mean turning stones into bread, but in how we approach religion. All too often, we seek God only for what we can get out of him, rather than coming to give, to serve, to worship. Jesus is also tempted to throw himself down from the height of the temple. This would force God's hand. God would have to send angels to protect him, wouldn't he? And then Jesus would be seen by all as the Messiah. He would have acclaim, fame, notoriety, and prestige. But Jesus says it's not right to put God to the test. We are not to try to manipulate God or control God or to manipulate anyone for that matter for our own ends. We are to follow God, not try to get him to follow us. And Jesus is tempted to worship Satan and have all the kingdoms and splendor and power in the world. Jesus is tempted to simply have his coming to earth be all about him, about receiving rather than giving. Jesus knows this is a false temptation because, after all, the universe is his, for he made it. However, he did not come to receive his due. He came to lay down his life. And how easily we too are tempted to try to get as much as we can. Oh, we might want to give a little here or there to ease our guilt, but there is that temptation to get more, have more wealth, more ease, more security, more recognition, or more prestige. It would have been disastrous if Jesus had succumbed to these temptations. Instead of the life-giving work he did for us on the cross, we would have the Son of God out in the wilderness, miraculously making bread, a bread factory, or we would have the Son of God, acclaimed by all, taking the easy way out, avoiding the cross, or we would have Jesus receiving all that is in the world while we would be left to our sin, wandering far from the presence of God. It would have been disastrous if Jesus had succumbed to these temptations, and it can be disastrous in our lives when we succumb to doing the thing that seems desirable for the short-term benefit, but which we know in our heart of hearts is wrong, and we'll regret it later. And yet God, in his infinite wisdom, allows us to be tempted so that we learn, so that we grow, so that we build up resistance. And so now, armed with this wisdom, the example of the Son of God, how shall we become more and more the men and women God intends for us to be and build up resistance in our lives to fight the temptations we face? I offer you three suggestions. Use the weapon God has given you, follow the example Jesus has laid for you, and seek the resource God has provided for you. First, use the weapon God has given you. I'm referring here to the armor of God that Paul describes in detail in Ephesians chapter 6, which helps us take our stand in the spiritual battles of life which we face. There's just one offensive weapon given, and that is the sword. Paul says we are given the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Scripture. Did you notice in the gospel reading today what Jesus does each time he's tempted by Satan? Each time he does the same thing to resist the devil. He quotes scripture. It's not just that Jesus has memorized it, that's a good thing, but he understands what it means and how to apply it to his life. Jesus hasn't just memorized the scriptures, he has studied them. Jesus gives us an example to resist temptation here. to resist temptation, read, study, learn, memorize, and apply the scriptures to your life. In doing so, you will use the weapon God has given you to resist temptation. I love when fasting, to quote to myself Jesus' words, when I get hungry, I have food to eat that you don't know about. Remember that? John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Jesus has been speaking to her for a long time, and the disciples come back and they're talking about lunch. And Jesus says that to them. Also, today's gospel reading is a great verse to memorize and recite when fasting, which comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Use your sword and resist temptation. Study the word of God. Second, follow the example Jesus has laid for you. I read something online this week written by a fundamentalist Christian that said that it's foolish and against the teachings of the Bible to observe the season of Lent with acts of penitence and fasting. And I just wished I could have had a conversation with that person and asked them what they think this passage of scripture we have today is saying, if it is not saying that Jesus is giving us an example to follow. If the Son of God in his humanity was led by the very Spirit of God into a 40-day period of fasting, should we not follow his example and spend time in seasons of penitence and fasting? Now, I don't recommend going without food for that length of time, but there are ways to fast for a season. If you read my letter to the parish this week about Lent, you will have seen how I urged everyone to remember that God created seasons for us, and that the season of Lent is a great time to seek the presence of God. Lent's a time for self-awareness. It's a time to change up your routine of life and remind your soul of your need for God. It's a time for self-discipline, to practice spiritual disciplines such as fasting, prayer, scripture reading, and service. It's a time to embark upon a soul-training boot camp that puts the state of your heart in a place of readiness and openness to receive from God. Study the Bible, follow Jesus' example in a season of fasting, and third, seek the resource God has provided you, the Holy Spirit. We must not forget that it was the Spirit of God that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. It was when he was full of the Spirit, having been baptized. It was the Spirit of God that was with him. And the Spirit of God is essential to our Lenten practices. God has poured out his Spirit upon all who will receive Jesus. Let us seek that Spirit. Seek to listen to God and obey Paul's command in Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We should pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lent's not a time to just go through the motions. It's not a time to just give something up because that's what you always do. Lent is a time to prayerfully seek God. And whatever you do to mark the season, it's a time to humbly seek the Holy Spirit. Lent, fasting, following Jesus' example, studying the Word, keeping the season of Lent, praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit, these form the spiritual vaccine that promises to strengthen our resistance in a world full of temptations that constantly threaten our souls. Let us follow the example of our Lord and take the vaccine that will cause our bodies, minds, and spirits to grow and be filled to the brim with love, God's love. To Jesus Christ be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.
Now please stand, and turning to the bottom of page 4 in the bulletin, let us affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty.